Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're so very grateful you're taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and we want to update you again on what's happening with Abounding Grace Radio so that you don't think that we have gone off the air. We will next week be moving our airing times to 4:30 in the afternoon. That will replace the 8:30 and the 2:45 and the 8:45 time slots. We feel that the half-hour format at 4:30 would be more beneficial, and so we hope that you will make a note of that and continue to listen to Abounding Grace Radio. If that time is not convenient for you, you are always welcome to go to our website at agradio.org, and all of these podcasts are there cataloged for you, free for download, and we do encourage you to make use of those. We do want to remind you that we are a listener-supported program. Let me give you my thanks to all of you who have written into us and supported us financially. We can't express how grateful we are for your support. We thank you for that and ask, of course, that you continue to pray for us, that as the Lord has expanded Abounding Grace, that we would continue to be a blessing to you. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we are continuing our study in Psalm 32. And you'll remember David, this is David's great confession psalm. David had made some awful choices. He had decided to depart from the living God. He had decided to go his own way and to lead a life of sin for a period of time. And the psalm is showing us that God came after him. God came after him and God pursued him and laid his heavy hand upon him to drive him to repentance. And that's what we have here. We have a confession from the great King David. Confession here is to acknowledge, it is to observe your path, what you have been doing, and you are saying back to God that you agree with what his law says, that you have chosen a path that is wrong and that you are coming to him and confessing it. You're not hiding it. You agree. You know you've come to a real place of repentance when you can agree with God that what your sin deserves is his wrath. As Psalm 51 says, you are blameless when you judge. If you were to enter into judgment and condemn me, O Lord, you would be righteous. I agree. That's what I deserve. That is a hard place for us to come. We live in a society that says, hey, you are a victim of your circumstance. You have been exposed to a rough upbringing. You have faced many perils as a child. You're wired this way. And so we spend billions because of what plea in the courts? Not guilty. We're used to lawyers who come and defend innocence. We supposed innocence. He will be evaluated by a psychiatrist who at the end of the day will say, hey, this man was not thinking straight. And then the man begins to believe that. Maybe something else caused him to act the way that he did. Maybe he really didn't do it. Something took over him at the moment. Welcome to our justice system. He will declare not guilty as countless dollars, hours, and energy are spent to defend the claim of his innocence when the reality is he's maybe even worthy of the death penalty. What would be the greatest rarity in our day? Well, the greatest rarity would be to see a mass murderer stand up in court and say, I need no defense. I am guilty. And whatever the full consequence of the law and you decide to bring down upon me, I deserve. I am guilty. Dear listener, do you realize that is what pleases the Lord, when we are honest like that, and whose spirit, the psalm says, there is no deceit. That's what he's saying. You're open about your life. Because you see, by nature, we're master covers. Remember, that's why we wear clothing. Adam and Eve tried to sew his own fig leaves in the garden. God had to cover him with the righteousness of his son by the shedding of an animal skin. But the point here is, it's the most difficult thing to be persuaded that I have the problem. Here's what overwhelmed David. In verse 5, it reads this: I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. There's no break there. There's no pause for reflection. The Selah comes after verse 5, doesn't it? And then it says reflect. But there's an immediate response right there. God forgave. There's a swift answer, and not just an answer, but an action on God's part. There is nothing that moves him sooner to act. There is nothing that moves him to declare a sinner not guilty than when a naked, broken heart stands before him and says, I stand guilty. Save me for the sake of Jesus. You see, now you understand what moved David to joy in verse 1. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The blessedness of God, the beatitude of God in your life is seen in this: that he, by his amazing grace, is committed to bring you to a place of seeing that you have sinned, that indeed you have walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and you have stood in the seat of sinners, and that the act of his mercy and chastising to bring you that knowledge of your sin is with the goal and purpose that you would enjoy a different kind of blessedness. The knowledge of his forgiveness and justification before him. If sin is departing from God, missing the mark in corruption, to the sinner that comes to him, God does what? To those who come to him, he forgives, he covers, and does not impute iniquity. And why? Because the blessed man of Psalm 1, our Lord Jesus Christ, became one of us, dying on the cross. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's why Paul will look at David in Psalm 32 and put it there in Psalm 4, in Romans 4, to show us that this blessing of justification, that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the sinner when he denies himself and looks to Christ, is rooted in the beautiful gospel of free justification by grace through faith alone. Forgiveness is rooted in that blessedness. And that means that the whole of the Christian life is that every time we sin, every time we fall, we should come. We should come immediately to the Lord, who will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what this verse is saying. The blessedness is upon those in whose spirit there is no deceit, meaning they stopped hiding. They don't have to hide anymore behind their supposed righteousness. We're done with the fig leaves that Adam tried to cover his life with. I have the righteousness of Christ, never to be taken from me. Now that is the most encouraging message today. Why? Because the Lord gives you an example of David here and put down his great sin in the scriptures for us, that we would all avoid and learn from what David is saying to us, that if God gave mercy to David in that sin, he can give that same kind of mercy to you. It's an amazingly comforting passage, isn't it? This is what the Lord wants us to see. Maybe you feel condemned and ashamed of your past. He's telling you, don't doubt the Lord's desire and intention to forgive. Come to the Son and you will know forgiveness. Come to Christ. And you should realize that until you are in glory, you will continue to struggle. You're not going to be perfected in this life. And he has made a provision for you to know his forgiveness. So with these things in mind, he applies all of this with a few admonitions. The first is this: when you sin, come today. We always put it off. We feel so defiled, we stay away from the Lord. David is saying, don't repeat what I've done. Learn from my departure. You want to say this to the young people especially, don't do it. You have so many saints who've gone before you that tell you it's misery. Millions of believers who have gone before us to tell us that the way of departure from the living God is a path of misery that will wreck your life. Don't go there. Instead, come to the Lord. Verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at the time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. I think that verse is amazing. The Lord himself just said, come and talk to me. I am with you. There is a day coming when he will not be found. But he just said, I'm available to you. Come. And here's the wonderful blessing. These floods of waters won't touch you. What does that mean? The chastisement that David experienced was not pleasant. Chastisement's never a pleasant thing to go through. All discipline is painful. Come to him. You're not going to have to experience that. The young prodigal had to be stopped and bowed the knee before his departure. Would have saved him, had he done that, a whole life of grief and agony in the pigsty wrecking his life. Come today. What a wonderful thing David is saying to us. I tried it, and you don't want to experience the Lord's heavy hand. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord comes after us when we run, but don't run. Don't be the stubborn one. Verse 9, don't be like a horse or a mule who needs bits to be forced. I loved what Augustine said. Those who refuse to confess their sins to God and want to be their own rulers find plenty to scourge them. Those who trust in the Lord submit themselves to his rule and find mercy all around them. It's misery without the Lord, but the admonition the psalm leaves you with is to come to him so that you can enjoy his forgiveness. You can enjoy his gospel love. I say this today, it's misery without the Lord. It's sorrow and affliction without him. But the admonition the psalm leaves you with is to come to him so that you can enjoy his mercy, peace, and joy in this life. Isn't it amazing that the Lord is telling us that? That he's telling us that this is the blessing that he gives to his people. This is what he delights for his people. He says in verse 7, you are a hiding place for me. So much history with that. Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. You don't have to run from God. You can come to God and he will hide you in his Son. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. The other path is misery. The sorrows of the wicked abound. But here is the life for all of those who are justified and come to the Lord for daily strength. He is saying his steadfast love surrounds everyone who trusts the Lord. Aren't you overwhelmed that God is telling you in the close of this psalm that his delight is for you to be happy? Have a rejoicing life, knowing his love, that you would know his righteousness that he's provided and the wonderful forgiveness of Christ that has been supplied for you. This is the Lord God. This is the life he has for his people. Is there any deep-rooted sin in your life that you need to come to him today about? Anything that's gripped you for some time, addictions, forgiveness, issues, idolatry? Come to me, says the Lord Jesus. My burden is easy and my yoke is light, and you will have joy and rest for your weary souls. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.